1 to 6. There should be some Bibles in front of you. If not, there we might have it up behind us. If not, there's also our phones that are very handy to have the scripture ready and available to us. Here's the word of the Lord. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and have taken captive the women who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captive, Ahinoam and Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. The word of the Lord. It's my pleasure to invite up our guest speaker, Pastor Keith Sun, and his sermon is titled Overcoming Dark Moments.
Good morning. Good to see you guys again. My name is Keith, and I'm with World Vision Canada. Been with them about 3.5 years now. I think most of you know that, I think, right? Okay. As we read the scripture today, actually before I begin, let me just pray again. Lord, let your presence be in this place as we worship you, because you're the one that deserves our uplifting of our hearts to you, Lord. So let us be the ones who are opening up our hands and our lives to and just looking up to you at this moment. So we pray for your presence to enter into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we all have our favorites. You have your favorite music, favorite color, maybe your favorite car, or favorite type of clothing that you wear, and so forth. And I'm sure, you know, some people like Starbucks better over Tim Hortons. I'm more of a Tim Horton guy. And sometimes to change of the things that we like is pretty difficult. I'm sure you know that. And once we get into certain patterns and routine and we're comfortable about going about ways with those, we find ourselves, I guess, insecure when we're out of that routine. So for example, at times, you know, these favorites of yours can become your security and your identity as well. Some of you might be a golfer. And if you know Tiger Woods, he began his career really well in the 90s. And along the way, he had some problem with, you know, issues with adultery and divorce and all that stuff. And now, just recently, he came back and he won the 2019 Masters Championship, which is one of the very prestigious major cup in the America. And people are saying, you know, he's about to make the golf history, because he'll be possibly the one who will be setting a new record for the golf history of golf. So anyway, when Tiger plays on his final days, final round, which is on Sunday, he would always wear red. That's his lucky charm. And if we were to ask him to wear something else, I could imagine the response that he may give. He wouldn't be comfortable with that. I wouldn't doubt, you know, if he was wearing a red underwear either. Do you know? Always wear red. And that became his identity and security as well. And I remember back in my high school days, people wore clothes according to the type of music that they like. So back in those days, we had the people wearing army clothes or all black outfit, and they were the ones that liked funky type of music. So we called them mods. I don't know why mods. And then there were the headbangers. They were the ones into the hard heavy metal, right? And they've always wore, like, you know, jeans top and down 365 days. And then there were preps. They were like polo shirts and khaki pants and things like that. And there were the Madonna fans, the Italians, you know, with the big shoulder pads. So when you get used to certain things, sometimes if people were to ask you to change, it's difficult. And if some of these things that represent you, some of the things that are your security and your identity, and if those things are not in line with God and God is saying, hey, you need to change that. You know, you can imagine the discomfort that you're going to feel, right? So in that sense, change is not that comfortable. Before I go any further, I just wanted to share a video. It's something that we're doing at a Central Park on June 1st. And I just want to show, is it ready? If you can just play that. Okay, so what this is a Global 6K, which is it's a 6 kilometer run or walk, and we'll be hosting this at the Swan Garden in the Metrotown area, Central Park, on June 1st. And you know, at times, our church can be so, I guess, inclusive just within ourselves, but to change, to be more outward, right? This is an opportunity for a church to create a team of, you know, it could be as small as 5 or 10 people, right? And then invite the friends, invite your friends, invite your community to participate in something that's worthwhile doing. 6K represents 6 kilometers that average African person has to walk to get water. You know, not clean water because they don't really have clean water. You know, so this year we're raising funds for Congo for clean water. So, you know, anybody, any runners in here? But I'm sure everyone is a walker, right? Right? Yeah, just create a team of 5, 10 or whatever and sign up online and see how far it goes with you guys. So hopefully you guys could join this. We're hoping to get, you know, more than 500 people out there that day. So please join us. So anyway, that kind of change is something that sometimes we need to include in our lives so that kingdom of God could go on, right? Spread out. So now, again, I'm going back to my message here. At times, to change is difficult because it's not something that we are comfortable with. There was a story about a dog, which this new neighbor happened to see. And this dog would always be sitting by the front deck and it would be howling as if it was in pain. So day in, day out, this dog was howling and howling. So the new neighbor asked the owner of the dog and said, hey, why is your dog constantly howling all the time? And he goes, you know, I don't know, but when the dog comes out to the front deck, he would always sit on this area where there's a little nail sticking out. So he's howling because he's in a bit of a pain, right? So he asked, so why doesn't he just move? And the owner said, well, maybe it's not just painful enough, you know? Maybe it doesn't hurt him enough. But you know what? John Maxwell said about that, something about this. He said, people change when they learn enough. People change when they receive enough. People change when they are hurt enough. And I think many times we ourselves, you know, we at times need to feel the pain in order that we begin to change. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have that experience, right? And I think this is so true with kids too. When my kids were really young, their favorite store was dollar store. So I could easily say, hey, for your birthday today, you can go to dollar store and pick out 5 best items. And I'd be like, whee, you know? And then if my son wasn't behaving that well, I would say, but you're not getting any. And he'd be like, oh, dad, and he'll be all sucking up, right? Nowadays, you know, that has to change a bit. And I say, no more Fortnite. And he's like, oh, dad, no. Fortnite's it's brainstorming, you know, the people's mind. So sometimes, yeah, I think it is true. People really, you know, when they come to a point where they realize I need to change is when they are hurt, when they feel the pain enough. This is the thing with God. You know, God will not only use the positive influence upon us to bring change, but at times He utilizes those dark moments in our lives to bring about changes, to fulfill one of His purposes too. So He, in a way, He doesn't waste any opportunity in our lives, but He will grab any moments in order that He can accomplish anything in our lives through His presence there. So, you know, when you're going through these dark, so-called dark moments, it's not really the absence of God. It's not that you may feel like God's not there, but it's not really absence of God. It's actually, we need to view it as an opportunity to experience God more deeply. That's what those dark moments really are. So when we go through some of the difficulties like relational issue matters and physical matter or spiritual things, you know, these challenges can be very discouraging at times and energy draining, right? And especially when, you know, these troubles seems to pop up here and there, you may feel like that. But we need to, again, recognize and remind ourselves that, you know, God is good. Amen? Have you ever done this? I say, God is good, and you say, all the time. God is good. Yeah, He is good. While you're in trouble, you may not be able to recognize that. But sometimes, you know, through my experience too, I find that, you know, sometimes we go through that trials and you realize afterwards, I see what I have benefited from those times. And you see that afterwards. And when you're going through with this kinds of dark moments, yeah, you need to cling on to God. You need to hold on to God. Now, Saul, King Saul, it's about King Saul and David's story today. King Saul, he started out pretty good, but then along the way, something went wrong, and eventually God had left him. And Saul, at that moment, he didn't quite came back and didn't repent. If he truly repented, I'm sure God would have a different plan for him. But rather, he consulted one of the medium, so kind of a witch. I don't know if they had a, you know, crystal ball on the table or not, but consulted this medium in order to figure out what he was going to do. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Meaning like, there isn't any, you know, temptation out there that you're not familiar with. In that God is faithful, and that when you're tempted, He will always provide a way out so that you can endure that temptation. When you read passage like that, you see that, you know, when dark moments do happen in your life, it will only last as long as, you know, as much as God can accomplish something in our lives. It's not forever. So in 1 Samuel 16, we find that Prophet Samuel anointed King David as a king. And this is still when he was still a kid. He chose David out of all the older brothers that David had, because he was the youngest. And when King Saul found out that Samuel had this plan to make David a king, right? Well, he wasn't happy. He wasn't about to, you know, welcome this change in his life. He was very uncomfortable about this. I mean, it's about his, you know, job security, right? After being a king, what would you do after? So he was threatened by this. So at this point of 1 Samuel 27, we see that at this point, King Saul is after David's life. King Saul is after David's life. And David came pretty close of getting killed. If you remember the story where Saul threw a spear at him, right? And then also threw Jonathan, his friend Jonathan, ironically happens to be Saul's son. Through their friendship, they confirmed that King Saul was going to, wanting to desire to kill David as well, right? So he thought to himself, as long as he is visible or nearby King Saul, one of these days he's gonna get killed. So he hid himself in the enemy's territory, which is Philistines territory. Back then, Israelites and Philistines, they were always at war, always fighting over land and so forth. So he decided that it would be best if I hide myself in enemy's territory. And if you think about this, so I'm Korean, South Korean. So if I were to live in North Korea, you can imagine what kind of life that would be like, right? I don't think I would be very peaceful at all or comfortable with that, right? But that's basically what David was doing. He was hiding himself in his enemy's territory. And I guess this is God's doing, right? He met this king, Achish, and he received this permission and to have this land for his 600 men in Ziklag, that was. Now, I don't know what their relationship were like and how he agreed to have David living in the land like of his. And only the problem with this small, I guess it's a small town that he received for 600 men, problem was that this land was sort of like a wasteland. It was like a desert land, right? Where you can't really farm anything. And nearby there were Geshurites, Gergites, and Amalekites. These were the enemies of Israelites. And they lived in this area where they couldn't farm or raise anything. So what they did was often they would just raid other towns. And that's how they made living, by raiding other towns. So they were known for, you know, surprise attacks and cruelty as well. So you can imagine David and his men with his family and kids, you know, living in that environment. Probably didn't have any peace, always nervous. Has anyone had your home broken into? Some of us, right? So when I moved to my the condo that I'm at now, we're on the first floor. So at that time of moving, we didn't really consider alarm at that moment. But then 2 months after, someone broke in at like at 5 p.m. And after that, you know, we set up the alarm, and even now, it's been probably 3 years and so forth, but even now, we would always put, you know, stay, you know, that alarm system where you have stay option, right? When we're still inside at night. Because we just feel so uneasy about this, right? Because you never know what else is going to happen. So that kind of nervousness, when you live with like that, you know, you get stressed out, right? And that was kind of probably the atmosphere that David man was in the presence of. So in chapter 30 here, now just before that, of course, all the army of Philistines got together in northern village to I guess they had this meeting about, hey, let's get together, bring people in together, put our power up together, and let's fight against Israelites again, right? And they were talking about this, and David was present with his men to fight for these Philistines who were his enemies. So some of these commanders from Philistines said, hey, wait a minute, isn't this the David who people were singing about, saying, you know, Saul killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands? Why is he on our team? He was our enemy, right? So these commanders, they were uncomfortable about him being on board because they thought, well, you know, halfway through, they might turn against us. He might turn against us and fight towards us, right? So he got rejected and he was sent home, basically. So I don't know what David's intentions were at that point. I don't know if he was actually going to turn around and fight against, you know, towards them, or maybe take this opportunity to take, you know, Saul out of his position. We don't know that exactly. But after being, in a way, kicked out of that position, when he came back to Ziklag, something even worse happened. Nearby Amalekites had raided the hometown, temporary hometown, and took all women, children, animals, and all their belongings. And at this point of return, after 3 days of returning, they're probably exhausted, right? When they realized this, all 600 men, Bible says, they wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep anymore. You know? So you could see that they were in a bottom of the pit, you know? They were at a point where they're just all drained and discouraged. Because I'm sure family meant so much for them. Family probably meant everything for them. Maybe this was what they were fighting for, to have, you know, to be able to provide something better for their family. But when they lost all that, I'm sure they were feeling this dark moment, the worst of the dark moment possible, right? And David himself lost at this point two of his wives and kids, and probably, and more beyond that, some of the men. We find in verse 22 that among David's men, there were some evil men and troublemakers, right? And I think they're the ones who wanted to actually stone him. So imagine, you know, a people that were supposed to support you, now some of them want to kill you. So now he is in a situation, very terrible situation. First, he was wrongfully targeted by Saul. He was driven out of his homeland, rejected by his neighbors, and constantly under a threat of attack by other people, as well as now his family is captured, and some of his people are turning against him. So if you were in his shoes, what would you do, right? How would you feel? How are you going to overcome this, right? And this is a moment, I think, where we and David could align. At times, we would probably thought, where's God in all this? What is God doing in my life right now? And I'm sure David was asking that same question. But you know, here's something very encouraging to us and for David here. We find that in 1 Samuel 36, even midst of this overwhelming situation, it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. David found strength in Lord his God. And this was a moment when he was deepening his relationship with God. So I could imagine him spending time in God's presence, reminding himself of the God that he trusted and served. And you know, this thing can only come through the relationship with God. And I think you would know this. Some of you would know this. When you have that kind of relationship with God, you know that God's presence actually comforts you. God's presence can actually strengthen you. And I pray that all of you would be blessed acknowledging that. So when God chose David, this was years before he was to occupy the throne. And David knew one day that he was going to be a king. And God had developed him into being who he is at that moment, who he was to become. So no matter what kind of trials that he went through, in fact, I think these trials have made him much more stronger. And David's faith has much more grown. And it had prepared him to become the king that he was to be. And as he was deepening his relationship with God, he inquires the Lord, asking, should I pursue these Amalekites? And Lord gave him permission to do that. And to make a long story short, in the Bible, basically, he went back, he fought with them for about a day, and won all the plunders back, brought their wives and children and everything back. And God blessed him that way. And David was, you know, known as a person, man after God's own heart. And that's something I think we need to cherish also. How many of you feel that you're a person after God's own heart? How many of you feel that way? I think there's something special about that. And I think that was the reason why, you know, David was chosen over Saul, because he was the man after God's own heart. And I think that's very important in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And you know, at times of this trouble, you can actually profit from the trouble too. And God uses numerous opportunities to build character traits in your life. So for example, when we look at Romans chapter 5:34, it says, not only so, But we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. So we can see that some of these troubles and struggles that we have, it's actually a moment to deepen our relationship with God, and that it will give us an opportunity to create these character qualities, which is after God's own heart. So you may wonder, why so painful? Why so difficult? And I guess it's different for everyone. His ways are different for individuals. Some may feel more than the other. But of course, just, you know, like that dog who was sitting on that nail, you know, not every dog will sit on that nail, right? Every dog is different too. So in that way, God is unique in that He will work in your life in a very different ways. And I think that's a blessing too. And I hope that you're not going to change when only you're, you know, hurt enough. Because by that time, it might be too late too. So I encourage you not to go through that process. But again, you know, because God is so good, because God is good, He will not let you, you know, be suffering beyond what you can bear. He'll always provide a way out, as 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. So I want to encourage you not to really run away or hide from your problems or avoid the presence of God, but rather take that opportunity to be developing deeper relationship with the Lord. Face them, you know, with faith in God, knowing that He will give you strength for all this. So these dark moments, it is a growing period to know God more, to deepen your relationship with Him, and also to develop godly character traits. So when you recognize that, I guess best thing to do really is to get to know our wonderful God on a regular basis, right? And I don't know how many of you have this habit of being able to come to the Lord daily and pray and so forth. But I think that's crucial in our lives. Because when you pray, you know what happens? God happens. When you pray, God is nearer. When you pray, God will orchestrate in your life. He will intervene. He will comfort you when you're in need. He will strengthen you when you're in need. And I hope that you'll be encouraged to continue on worshiping and praising our wonderful God that we have and we serve. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to pray, Lord, that Your powerful and wonderful presence will always be upon us, Lord. You know, when there are times when we feel like, you know, maybe God is near, we pray that You will make Yourself known to us even more, and that You would always make Yourself available for us. And we know that You are. But a lot of times it's us that requires that change in us, Lord. Change for better. Change to deepen our relationship with You. So we ask of You, God, let Your Holy Spirit encourage us to do that, so that in Your presence, we would be blessed, Lord. So thank You for this time of worship, and we continue to praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.